We're going to take a different, kind of different trajectory or turn this morning, and I'll explain as we continue on. Okay? How many are set? Excited? Ready? Hallelujah. Well, Father, thank you, Father, for your presence and power in this place. Thank you, Father, for just how good you are to us as a loving Father. Thank you, Father, for come to us where just share your life, your nature with us, causing us to be partakers of your divine nature, Lord, for giving us of your spirit, eternal life, living and abounding on the inside of us. Thank you, Father, for healing made sure through the cross of your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father, even for manifestation of healing in this room today. Thank you, Father, for just freedom from things which previously seemingly held us bound. And we just thank you for causing us to be delivered of you, to be the healed of the Lord, to be triumphant, causing us to be overcomers. Thank you, Father, for just your protection and just how you blessed us in more ways than we can ever number or imagine. Give you all the praise and glory, and I just give this time to you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the truth of your word made sure in Christ, and for all the promises fulfilled in him that are all ours richly to enjoy. We give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 This morning, as I mentioned, I just want to move in a slightly different direction, and I'll explain real shortly. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Revelations, the book of Revelations in chapter 19. And it's verse 10. And I just want to touch on the latter part, or what we refer to as the B part, or the second portion of it. Now the angel says to him, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of all prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of all prophecy. Now, I don't know how many different versions are represented here. If your Bible utilizes a different word for testimony, would you let me know, please? Your version, if it gives a different word for the word testimony. All right. So in general parlance, you know, in just general thought, what do we think that means? What does that, because sometimes I've heard it said and quoted. What does it mean? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of all prophecy. What does that mean? What does that connote?
The actions and the words.
The actions and the words? And the words?
The actions and the words are, I can't remember the phrase. I'm
sorry. Mm-hmm. No, that's fine. That's
the
fine.
Actions of the words are synonymous with the hope of the Father.
The actions and the words of who?
Of the proclaimer.
Okay. Amen. Now, that action or that word, what does it point to?
Gail. I actually think I do have something different. Mm-hmm. It says, for the substance of the truth revealed by Jesus is the spirit of all prophecy.
Okay, the substance of the truth revealed by Jesus. What version is that?
Amplified.
Okay.
Not the classic.
Okay. All right, so the substance of the truth revealed by Jesus. So here it is, words, friends. The word testimony there is the word record, is the word report. Okay, and that record or that report or that witness or testimony, if you imagine, if you will, a court of law, that testimony, that report, that record concerns someone specific, and that person is what? Is Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit, is the breath, is the vital breath, is the inspiration of what? Of all prophecy. I said all of that to say this, friends. As we go on this morning, the prophetic word, when I go through scriptures, Old Testament, when I go through scriptures, New Testament, the word or the Bible is not just a book with facts thrown jumbled all over the place. It concerns a specific individual. It concerns purpose. Someone mentioned what was done, an action. The action concerns something, concerns what Christ did. We just saw the substance of what Christ did, the basis, the sum total of who he is and what he represents is Jesus. Why am I saying this morning? Why am I touching on this morning? If you like, I want to title this the prophetic word on healing, health, and safety. These are not things or concepts that we don't know about or that we have not heard of or heard about. But I want us to have a different aspect this morning. I want us to, basically, the purpose of this teaching this morning is to get us in a place where we are not only sure, but centered on the truth based on what Christ did. So that this is solidified in our hearts, so that we are sure and certain of him in whom we have what? Believed. And are not moved and are not swayed concerning the truth. Okay? Now, Luke in chapter 24, 25 through 27, Luke chapter 24, 25 through 27, we don't need to turn there this morning, but very quickly, Christ had died, and he arose from the dead, and there were a couple of his disciples who were traveling on the road, Emmaus. And then verse 25, then he said to them, Jesus speaking, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have what? Spoken. Verse 26, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning what? Himself. He expounded to them, taught them all the things in scriptures concerning himself. If you jump down to verse 44, Luke 27, then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you. Now he's appeared to the other disciples and the others who were gathered in the room, locked up as it were. Because eventually when he revealed himself to those two, they ran back to Jerusalem and went to tell the others. And then verse 44. So he appeared in the midst of them. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. All these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And then he went on to open up their understanding so that they could comprehend all that he was sharing with them. Friends, I said that to say this. All Old Testament prophecies, promises, all these things converge in Christ Jesus. Him coming to earth, him going to the cross, him dying on the cross, him taking our place on that cross, bearing our sins, and the impact of which we'll see shortly further on in this message. But all Old Testament prophecies and promises, they converge in him. Not only do they converge in him, they find their fulfillment in him. So that all New Testament or New Covenant revelation, all New Covenant realities emerge, then emerge from Christ Jesus, who we must see as the center. Who we must see as the center. So that when I approach God's word, when I approach the Bible, when I approach scriptures, I'm not just approaching scriptures as it were individually, verse by verse, trying to make meaning of it outside of the scope of what Jesus did. Did we get that? When I'm approaching scriptures, we have to run it through the filter of the finished work of the cross. Why is this important? Why is this important? It's about, as I said at the beginning, being sure. Because guess what, friends? We have the prophetic word made sure in our lives, especially as it concerns healing and health. We have the prophetic word made sure. And that is in Christ Jesus, who now has his dwelling and his abode in us. We've seen a couple of passages where Jesus said, all the prophets, Psalms, all of those things, there was the reference was to me. Let's look, turn our Bibles to 2 Peter in chapter 1. This is, once again, setting the background for at least the next couple of weeks of what we'll be doing here in healing class. And we'll see it shortly. 2 Peter in chapter 1, verse 12. Peter speaking, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always all these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. 2 Peter 1 and verse 12. I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. And so I have a question, friends, healing class. What is the present truth as it concerns healing and divine health? Some of us have been attending for a long time.
It's done.
What is done?
Everything. All the healing, all the good health, prosperity. God paid for it all.
Okay,
he
amen.
Died and rose on the cross.
Okay. And then as concerns you, as a living reality, what does that mean? Thank you, Todd. Yeah, Susan, you had something.
Well, the reality is that we live from that stance. From that position, that we're already healed, it's all done. You know, because our born again spirit, our real person, our spirit man, we're already healed. It's a matter of renewing the mind, receiving it.
Amen. Renewing our mind, receiving it. So we're already healed, renewing our minds and receiving it. What is the thing about receiving it? What is the understanding? What is the present truth about receiving it? Let me phrase it this way. Is receiving it, is it external to you? When you talk about receiving, what's the current truth?
It's in us. It's within us.
Okay. What's scripture? These are the things when I ask a question like that. What is the present truth? Thank you. And you've outlined that. You've laid that out, which is great, which is awesome. What is the present truth? Because it talks about being established in it. And so for the next week or two, next couple of weeks, we're going to go back and take a look. Where do we stand? Where do you stand? What do you believe? What do I believe? Because guess what? It's what we truly believe. Guess what? It's what we truly believe that does what? That's what, that's not just say, not just says us. That's what actually comes out. That's what we live out. What do we hold in our heart? What's resident there?
The Holy Spirit, God.
Holy Spirit is resident within. Spirit, born anew, perfect on the inside. It's about renewing the mind. Okay, renewing the mind to what? To these self-same truths that we see in God's word, that we have revelation as by His Spirit concerning, and then we walk these out. We walk in this truth. We walk in the living reality thereof. Here's what He says. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you. So friends, there's a thing about reminding and a reminder. Because guess what? In the world that we live in, what's that tendency that we as humans have? To forget. We tend to forget. When things go on, when things happen, when things occur, there's a tendency to forget. Oh, I am the healed of the Lord. Oh, He already paid the price in full. Oh, it wasn't about what I did or what I'm about to do or what I'm going to do. It's about what He did. And then my posture in that regard, my faith or belief in that finished work. Peter goes on, verse 13. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir up by reminding you, knowing that surely I must put up my tent, just as the Lord Jesus showed me. Verse 15, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things. Friends, the word reminder comes up in that short passage portion at least three times. And I'm saying this morning, as it concerns healing and health, it is a good thing to be reminded of the truth concerning the finished work based on that sacrifice. And so we're going to look closer at those, at that, as we go on. Okay, verse 16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to share this with us. I'm convinced beyond measure. This is a portion of scripture that encourages me greatly when, for example, in my life, seemingly there are times when I see certain things that look contrary to the truth, whether by way of challenges in the health area or just life generally. This is a portion of scripture that I've taken to myself that serves as great, not just a reminder, but great encouragement in going on, in continuing, whether in standing in faith, in fighting the good fight of faith, in decreeing, in declaring, in having that mindset, that conviction that, look, the world can't tell me something different. I am the healed of the Lord, regardless of what signs or feelings or emotions or whatever it is, whatever the noise may be. I see this portion of scripture and it encourages me greatly. What? It says, I have not followed cunningly devised fables. When we speak concerning Jesus and what He did, these are not tales by moonlight. These are not concocted stories. These are not fabrications. Something happened. And I take great comfort in that, great encouragement in that. Concerning all the miracles He wrought, He worked when He walked the face of this earth. Concerning what He made available by that cross, by His death, resurrection, and glorious ascension. What He made available to us, in us. They're not fabrications, friends. It's the truth. And I choose to stake my life. I choose to hang my life, stake my life on the truth of God's word concerning what He did. And I say this severally, nothing can change my mind about this, regardless. Amen? And it's my hope and it's my desire that this rings true in your heart as well, regardless of what it is that you face. All right. Peter going on specifically, then he goes on to highlight, says, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus. Whether you talk about His coming in power or His powerful coming, it says, but we're eyewitnesses of His majesty. who received from God Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And we heard his voice, which came from heaven when we were with him in the holy mountain. So now he goes into a specific reference as to why his conviction stands so sure. Verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word. KJV says something to the effect of, we have the word of prophecy, something made sure, something to that effect. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. We have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to take heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. What prophetic word? Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. That word interpretation is the word origin in the original. It's the word origin, and I look at that as origination. It's of any private origin or origination or interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so we have the prophetic word made sure. How was the prophetic word made sure? Or we have the prophetic word confirmed. How was the prophetic word confirmed? That's actually a cheap question. You know why? The answer, we already saw the answer. The answer is right there. Prior. Remember what we looked at from Luke 24 just a short while ago? What we saw in Luke 24, what Jesus said. And now Peter is making reference to who specifically? Who is he speaking about? Who is he talking about?
It's got to be Jesus. He's the Word.
Yeah. Friends, we know this. All the promises of God, for example, all the promises of God, in who? In who? Are what? They are yes and what?
Amen.
And amen. They find their fulfillment, they find their confirmation, they find their fulfillment in who? In the person of Christ Jesus. The prophetic word concerning Christ, Peter is saying, was made sure or is confirmed, and that was confirmed based on what he's coming. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. He came, he performed perfectly here on earth by healing all who were oppressed of the devil. It says, for God was with him, and then he perfected that at the cross as it concerns us individually. For those in his time and those for posterity, any who would come to believe in that finished work would come into the position called what? The healed. The healed. And it's by faith. It's by believing that finished work. That's why when we look at God's word, friends, we must approach God's word from the perspective of the done reality, or the reality of the done, or the reality of the finished. For the truth, when he said it is finished, you know, maybe it wasn't really finished. Right? Was it finished? Can we say it's finished?
Yes. Definitely.
Concerning the price paid? Concerning the deliverance brought? Concerning the freedom?
All of it.
Extrication from bondage? Removal from bondage?
Yes.
Transfer from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love, or His beloved Son? Can I go on?
Sure.
He said it is finished. So when we look at promises, friends, when we look at promises, especially from the perspective of the Old Testament or the Old Covenant, I'm urging us not to look at promises just in isolation. Look at promises with the perspective of Christ as the center, of Jesus as at the epicenter. As far as it concerns fulfillment, so that, is anyone here not born again this morning? Anyone not saved? So that if you're saved, you have someone living, dwelling, abiding on the inside of you. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct? So you have Jesus. In having Jesus, in you, in your life, on the inside, in having Jesus, you have the promises, what? Fulfilled. You have fulfillment in your life. So you are not trying to claim a promise. The fulfillment, the promise is yours already. I don't know if we're getting this. Was it 2 Corinthians 1:20 we looked at concerning all the promises? He didn't say some of the promises. Did it say some? Do we want to go there and take a look?
Yes, amen. I think you're right that we tend to look at the Old Testament as a something that was back then for the Israelites. But since he fulfilled them all and he is in us, then they're ours too. You can't separate that. It's all ours. And people, I think a lot of Christians do that. Well, that was for them. That was in the old covenant. That's not ours.
Right. That's a good thought and a good example. How about wanting to individually try and isolate some and take some to ourselves? And this is part of what I've tried to share in healing class over time. In as much as long as we see something as not yours and you're trying to reach out for it, you're trying to get it, it's different from realizing you already have it. And then walking in that reality. It's not the same thing. Because when we think we don't have it, we're trying to get it. Not only do we expend energy, not only are we kept in the dark, not only do we lose out on the reality to which we've been called, as far as living it out here in this life, in this world, it's almost as if, put it in another way, it's like you're stolen from. And that's why sometimes some perish for lack of what? Knowledge, not knowing the truth. And then that way it looks like it's a perpetual struggle. I'm struggling to keep this. I'm struggling to grab this. I'm struggling to maintain it.
I was thinking that maybe it'd be helpful to think of it in terms of releasing. Instead of receiving. Sometimes when we think of the word receive, it's coming from the outside.
Right.
But we did receive it when we got saved. When we get that revelation, then we can switch to now we release it. And sometimes we have to explain that salvation package to people so they have that act of their will that they receive the whole package, which includes healing per topic here. But once they get that revelation, I think it's helpful if we can all think of releasing now the answer, releasing the healing that we're seeking for this particular symptom or something that's going on in our bodies.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Yes, Joe. Thank you, Pat.
She's absolutely true, but both are actually true. But they're also both voice activated. And they must be acted upon for them to actually do this. It's like if you're not thirsty, you will never seek a well. But we know we have a well inside of us.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It has to be drawn out.
And that comes from what we've been talking about in healing class as far as power and authority and expression by way of speaking, by way of issuing commands, imperatives. Okay? Ecclesiastes 8:4, where the word of the king is, there's what? There's power. There's power that goes with that, you know, and authority that goes with that. And we've looked at that extensively. So there's that part of the releasing is speaking it out. Okay? But as with what Pat just mentioned, I think it's Ephesians 3:20. Unto him is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we what? Ask or think. Who's that talking about? Who is he? Unto him who is able to do. Okay, God. Okay. According to the power that works where?
Within us.
So there's power at work within. That placement is on the inside. I believe Susan mentioned that earlier. Okay. You have his spirit within. You have, the topic is healing. The class is healing class. You have healing on the inside. It's about releasing this. But you have to recognize that what? You are healed. You are healed. I wish I could just keep saying that for the next 15 minutes. That you are healed. You are healed. You are healed because you were healed. Okay? You were healed. It's important to understand this, friends. And I chose to spend time as led of God this morning to just lay this out. This background before we go back into scriptures that portray and highlight the healing and health that is ours in Christ. Colossians 1:17. Colossians in chapter 1, verse 17 says something concerning Jesus. It says, he is before all things. And in him all things consist. What does that mean? Against the background of what we've been speaking today, what does that mean?
All our health and healing consist in him, and he is in us.
Amen. Any different version? Colossians 1:17. I'm trying to get a feel. Why I'm asking a different version is from the Greek. There are different words utilized that bring up the point, that give the expression of what that means.
New Living Translation.
Please.
He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together.
Okay, he holds all creation together.
I've amplified.
Please.
And he himself existed and is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the controlling, cohesive force of the universe.
Amen. All things hold together. It is in Christ Jesus all things hold together. It is in Christ Jesus that all things make sense. It is in Christ Jesus that they find fulfillment. It is in Christ Jesus. The answer, friends, every time. We can come to class, pose all the questions. Every time, the answer. Till tomorrow, till kingdom come, is Jesus. He's before all things. And through him, all things consist. All things hold together. All things make sense, including the things of your life. It is in Christ that you have your healing. It is in Christ that you have divine health and can walk that out here in this lifetime, as we'll see in the next couple of classes. It is in Christ. He's made the provision. And what's the provision? Isaiah 53.
By his stripes, you're healed. By his suffering.
Amen. Isaiah 53 gives that portrait. We'll go into that in depth next time. But I want to show something in verse 3. This is something I don't know if we've heard. But then, here's what goes on, friends. Peter talked about a reminder which needs to be constant. And we'll find out why this is important, because there are many in the body of Christ, in the church, I'm not speaking about House on the Rock, that hold different, even from the same passages. But if you hold the head, that is Christ Jesus, if you can comprehend, if you can understand the basis of the finished work, then you will not easily be swayed. Not by people, not by situations or circumstances. Verse 3. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and what? Acquainted with what? Grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. A man of sorrows. What's the word sorrows in the Hebrew original? This is healing class. We've heard this. No. Sorrows. Sorrows itself. The word sorrows. Makov in Hebrew. What's M-A-K-O-B? What's sorrows in Hebrew? In the Hebrew tongue. That's the word pains. Pain. The word sorrow. A man of pain. Of sorrows. That sorrow is the word pain. Physical pain and mental. Physical and mental pain. So that cuts across several things. Heart issues, heart conditions, things that may not necessarily be physical. So someone approached me sometimes and said, oh, did Christ really pay the price for all? Yes, he did. For all, not just people, but also for all. Did he take care of all diseases? Yes. Even those beyond physical, yes. Anxiety, depression, started listing things. Anxiety, depression, and different things. Medically diagnosed, or clinical things. Maybe I might talk to Rob a little bit after. Maybe you can school me and teach me on some of those aspects. But psychological things, traumas, heart issues. Yeah, the price paid even for that. He paid the price, yes, for that and much more. More than we can begin to list ourselves. The human condition based on sin, because we know that's how sickness came into the world, was based on sin, and then the floodgates were opened. But Jesus paid the price for all. Nothing left out. So pains include that. That's sorrows. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. What's the Hebrew for grief?
Sickness,
disease, maladies, ailments. So these were not strange to him. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid our face. I already said that. Verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs. So he bore our sicknesses, not his. So he bore our griefs, our sicknesses, diseases, infirmities, maladies. And carried our pains, mental, physical. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for what? For our own transgressions. He was what? Bruised. Smashed, crushed. For what? For our own iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. That brought us peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. We are healed, friends. There's something interesting about Isaiah in chapter 53. It describes future events that are so certain to happen that they are referred to in the past tense as if they already occurred, as if they already happened. That's in the Hebrew, that's the prophetic perfect. The prophetic perfect tense. So certain, so sure, so that the prophet, in being moved of God and in penning, speaks of the event in the past, yet it hasn't occurred in time. The prophetic perfect tense. So certain, so sure. So that down the line, Jesus could make reference and show the disciples, show the apostles, show all his followers that, look, I am the fulfillment. He told the Jews of his time, he says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life. He says, and these are they, all the scriptures. Because when he walked, we couldn't talk about new tea as it was, as penned. The scrolls and what they had. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. He says, and these are they, the scriptures, the sum total, the bulk of it, that testify of me. And you won't come to me that you may have life, that you may have life, have it more abundantly, have eternal life. I'm the answer. I'm the remedy. I'm I'm the all in all. But they didn't get it. Was that a question?
If I... My Bible says that Isaiah 53 describes his death and burial and explains that Jesus died for our sins. Isaiah wrote these words about 700 years before Jesus was even born. Only God could know ahead of time how Jesus would die. Prophecies like this one prove that the Bible really is the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Way in advance. And I wish I could go more into it. But like I said, we're going to take this progressively next couple of classes. We're going to open it up. We're going to look closely at this. And we're going to see how Peter himself, when he made reference to the prophetic word, how he put it, which we know. Isaiah said, by his stripes we are healed. And we're going to look into that word stripes. And we're going to basically go into healing and health that was provided. We're going to examine it. We're going to take a closer look. Let me put it that way. Beyond just having a glance so that we can encourage our hearts. And remind, above all, the purpose of this, as I said from the outset, is to remind ourselves. Because it's important. The prophetic word. Okay? I just talked about the prophetic perfect tense. Let me end this class on promises. Who can remember, before I read this portion of scripture, who can remind me what we said about promises in this class, this morning? What have we said about promises?
They're yes and amen.
They're yes and amen. What's the implication of that?
They're done.
They're done.
Fulfilled.
Fulfilled where?
In Jesus.
Yeah, fulfilled in Jesus, but for... But for us who are sitting here, for you who are looking at me, fulfilled where?
Within us.
So what's the implication? We're in this world. We're in this life. What's the implication? What's the import? The done reality, the fulfilled word. Sometimes, even when I say that, it's done, it's finished, it's provided. But what is the implication?
That we are the healed of the Lord.
We're the healed, yes. The healed of the Lord. What is the implication? Promises done, fulfilled. What's the implication for us in this life?
It's our reality.
Say it loud.
It's our reality.
It's our reality. That's what we've been called to. That's what we get to walk in. So it's on the inside, and that's who we are. That's where we live. That's where we dwell. That's where we have our being, and that's what we get to experience. The promises made sure, prophetic word made sure, promises fulfilled in our lives. So we're not scrambling to get them. Did you hear me say that? We're not scrambling to get the promises. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Psalm 91. I have just about a minute, so that means I'm not going to be able to expound on it, but it's okay. I'll touch on it another time, but for this morning, I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. We'll do a breakdown from the New King James some other time. Psalm 91. Message this morning. The prophetic word on health, healing, and safety. Health, healing, safety, protection. You can lump in all the blessings which are ours in Christ already. Because God has blessed us that way. It says in Psalm 91, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from what? Deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. And then on, and then the Lord himself makes a declaration from 14 through 16. And we can, as I mentioned, I don't have time to teach on it, but we can go home and we can take a look at that. I just read it from the New Living Translation. And so that whether it concerns disease or whatever it is, we are protected.
Amen.
We are safe. We're kept, as Peter put in 2 Peter 1:5, I believe. We're kept, 1 Peter 1:5, we are kept by the power of God. These are not, as I mentioned, promises in isolation. This is reality. Reality. The other day, I ended this testimony. Prayer team member, who's on this morning? Would you come? I was driving home from Romulus, one of those snow-hit evenings, and just going on my way home, and a vehicle just sped past to my left, and I was just, you know, playing some worship and just heading home. And then all of a sudden, right in front of me, he must have hit a patch or something. He swerved to the left and then swerved all the way back. He was just all over the place and then came right in front of me at night. And I'm driving. I said, Holy Ghost. That was what came up. Holy Ghost. And then instantly, I swerved to the left. This is on I-94 coming west. Swerved to the left. And then as soon as I hit the left, he just said, full throttle. And then I just, regardless, I just tried to, because he came all the way right in front of me. And I had no option but to just swerve to the side. And then as fast as possible, just pedal beyond the dude. Basically lost control. And as I went by, my heart was palpitating. I went by, and then he did his thing, and was interested by the power of God. There was no crash, no damage, no nothing. And I just started thanking the Lord all the way home. It was, all I could say was, Holy Ghost. Because it was so sudden right in front of me. He seemed like he was doing okay, and the next thing was right in front of me doing whatever. But we're kept, we're protected, we're safe, we're secure. Whether it's disease, whether it's an epidemic, whether it's a pestilence, whether it's, you shared a testimony a lot of time, Todd, about, you know, injury that could have occurred. But he's faithful. His word is true. And that's our lot, and that's our portion, and that's what we stand on in Jesus, all in Jesus. Father, I thank you for this time. Thank you, Father, for the encouragement of scriptures. Thank you, Father, for promises fulfilled in our lives. Thank you, Father, that we can hold on to the truth of your word and rejoice in that which you perfectly accomplished by your cross. Thank you, Father, for healing made sure and manifestations in our bodies in line with the truth of your word. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here this morning and you need to join up with a prayer team member up front concerning any situation, any circumstance, concerning healing, a heart issue, a heart condition, or something that just brings whether negative memories or thoughts to you, you want to join up with her in faith. You speak God's word into that situation, and you get to see freedom. You get to see release in that area, in that aspect. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll be back in time for the service at 10:45. Keep basking in his glory and his goodness. Okay, friends? Praise God. Amen.